special number. This is just reset the calendar.
All calendar has two periods. One calendar has 12 years period. Another calendar has 10 years period. And after 60 years, all the calendars, two calendars, reset. So Hirota maybe reset his life. I'd like to speak about Saturday principle, conservation laws, and the size of quantum controllers. I appreciate the Professor Osamu put the measurement always in the title of his international conference, QCM or QCMC, quantum communication measurement. QCM. And QCMC means quantum communication measurement and compute. My favorite subject is measurement theory, and I like to speak about uncertainty principle, and then we like to interplay between measurement theory and some aspect of computation. I start with the definition of measurement. A measuring process is a mathematical structure consisting of a Hilbert space K and a density operator on K and the unitary operator on tensor product of H, tensor K, and a self-adjoint operator on K. Simply, these four mathematical objects we can define as identify with the notion of measuring process or simply a measurement. And then given this structure, we can define the P of M of this measurement by this formula. In this talk, I assume that all the Hilbert space are finite dimensional. This is a spectral projection of observable M corresponding to eigenvalue small m. And then P of M is just a partial trace over K of this meta projection evolved by this unitary operator and times this density operator on the ancillary system only, or ancillary or apparatus system only, and taking a partial trace defined P of M of this measurement means that trace of this operator times input state rho gives you the output probability of this measurement with outcome M. And then we can define also the trace preserving completely positive map of this measurement by this formula. This is a very typical definition of the state change caused by the unitary operator on the composite system. If the state is prepared always in a density operator rho, independent of input state rho. Ancillary system is independently prepared in sigma, always independent of input state rho. Then we can define what is noise in this measurement and what is disturbance of this measurement. And in order to define the noise and disturbance, we first define the noise operator. Noise operator is a difference between, in this case, we consider the measurement of observable A. We want to measure A tensor identity over the composite system. We want to measure this operator. But actually, we measure this operator, meta operator, after the interaction. And so the measurement is correct if and only if this operator and this operator has the same value in some sense. Define the noise of this measurement to be the difference of these two operators. Difference between we want to measure what we want to measure and what we actually measure. Then we define reduced noise operator to be the, this should be the not trace, but this is a partial trace over K. And then this is just a partial trace out over the apparatus system. So this defines the operator on the measured system. And then we define root mean square noise to be the square root of the mean square of the noise operator. Means that the average of the square of noise operator taking square root. Then it is natural to expect that the notion of noise should be determined by only the P of M, because P of M describes the output probability distribution and independent of the notion of the disturbance of measurement. Disturbance means how measurement changes the state of the system. But the P of M doesn't describe that such kind of the state change. But the P of M completely describes what outcome will be obtained, what output probability will be obtained for any state. And so it is natural to expect the noise is determined only by P of M, independent of the PPCP map. And this actually happens by this, from this definition. And reduced noise operator and the root mean square noise are determined by the P of M. That is, the reduced noise operator has this form, where this is a mean operator of the P of M pi, defined by this. And root mean square is also defined by, satisfy this form. I'm sorry, this is the square of the noise. So the mean square noise is given by this formula, where this operator is our operator for the second moment of the output of the measurement. So that this is second moment operator minus this is first moment operator times measuring observable, and this is reverse product, and then plus a square. So we can prove that this is equal to this, and so the reduced noise operator and the root mean square noise are completely determined by the P of M. Now we define the disturbance of this measurement. In order to define in a similar way, a disturbance operator is defined to be the difference between the, we consider in here a disturbance on operator B. And then with the disturbance operator, the difference between operator B before or measurement and after measurement. And reduced disturbance operator is here also, this is partial trace over K. Then this is just a trace over the apparatus system in a state sigma. Then root mean square disturbance is defined to be the root mean square of the disturbance in the state, input state, raw tensor, apparatus state sigma. And then we have the disturbance, reduced disturbance operator and the root mean square disturbance determined by a CPTP map T. And that is reduced disturbance operator is a difference between original operator B and disturbed operator or operator after the measurement, T star of B, where a T star is a dual operation of the TPCP map T. TPCP map T is defined to be the state change of this measurement. T star is a unit preserving completely positive map dual to T. And this is just the relation between Schrödinger picture and Heisenberg picture. The TPC film of T describes the state change in Schrödinger picture. Then the same change of the system is described by in the Heisenberg picture, T star. The T star describes the in the Heisenberg picture how observable changes between the measurement, during the measurement. And so the reduced disturbance operator is defined originally by this is equal to this. And then also that we have the root to mean squared disturbance to be given by this. So this is very similar form with this form. We consider here the second moment of the P of M. Instead of that, here with the T star of square of B, this is corresponds to the second moment of some disturbed P of M corresponding to original B. And this corresponds to our first moment of the disturbed P of M from occurred by the measurement change of B. Now we consider the uncertainty principle for this model of measurement. Usually the Heisenberg uncertainty principle has two different formulations. I think that originally in 1927, Heisenberg intended to formalize this relation. Heisenberg inequality for noise epsilon and disturbance theta means that a product of the noise for A measurement times the disturbance on another observable B induced by this measurement of A, it's always equal or greater than 1/2 of modulus of the expectation of commutator of A and B. Originally, Heisenberg considered the gamma ray microscope thought experiment. In that case, that measurement is a position measurement. So A should be the position operator. And he discussed the momentum disturbance by this microscope measurement. And by the optical consideration of the resolution of the microscope, he derived the relation between noise of or a resolution resolution power of the microscope times disturbance momentum disturbance caused by a competent recoil has a lower bound determined by H bar, and Heisenberg insists that the product of the noise and the disturbance has such kind of lower bound. And Heisenberg discussed in his paper in 1927 such kind of relation. This relation is a straightforward mathematical consequence from the commutation relation. And he tried to formal proof of this relation. But in his argument, he assumed particular state change. And in the sense that Heisenberg started his proof by assuming with some given noise, the state after the measurement should be some kind of Gaussian state with spread for the for spread in position and for the spread of the momentum has this kind of relation. So the Heisenberg concluded this relation from such kind of very strict assumption about the state after the measurement, and obtaining this relation, essentially he uses a relation between the spread in the position and the spread in the momentum. And this part is immediately after the Heisenberg's paper, this part of the argument is formally proved for any wave function by Kenner for position and momentum pair. And afterward, Robertson generalized this relation to arbitrary operator of A and B, and using the very familiar discussion using Schwarz inequality. So this relation now is very popular in the textbook. But the original idea of using the Schwarz inequality to derive this relation is said that it's due to Weil. Weil was writing his book Groups Theory and Quantum Mechanics, and Robertson translated that book during the Weil's stay in Princeton. So we now consider the conservation law. This Wigner-Archie-Anatze theorem examined the constraint from the conservation law, how the conservation law put the constraint on the measurement accuracy. Their general claim is as follows. Any observable which does not commute with an additively conserved quantity cannot be measured with absolute precision. Sometimes this is understood as a kind of a super selection rule. But the Wigner-Archie-Anatze theorem does not conclude the super selection rule or unmeasurability of observable non-commuting with the conserved quantity. The reason is that in order to formalize this claim, they assume always measurement, one model of measurement, means that they assume always a fixed measuring apparatus. And this fixed measuring apparatus is constrained by fixed resource. Means that they assume always some size limitation. And so the Wigner-Archie-Anatze theorem merely sets the accuracy limit of the measurement with size limited apparatus in the presence of conserved quantity. So if you consider the asymptotically large size to measuring apparatus, this constraint becomes small and small, and then in the limit, if the size is macroscopic, this limitation disappear. So there are, this is very much the quantum nature of the measuring apparatus. So if you consider the measuring apparatus to be a quantum mechanical way, then such kind of system should be has only the finite number of angular momentum. In that case, this finite maximum angular momentum gives the precision limit. And this original argument is not quantitative, but subsequently, Yanase, one of the author of the Araki-Yanase paper, he published analysis of the particular model of the spin measurement. And he obtained the lower bound for the this limit of the spin measurement caused by the conservation law. His statement as follows. If a measuring process K sigma um for one qubit system satisfies the following two conditions. A unitary operator commutes with spin of x component of spin plus x component of angular momentum in the apparatus. So this means measuring interaction satisfies angular momentum conservation law. And also he assumed that this model assumed that the measurement is completed by a meta measurement. And this meta observable should be commute with a conserved quantity. Because the, from the original Wigner-Yanatis theorem, if M is not commuting with the conserved quantity, M measurement may cause some error. So the, in order to guarantee that M can be measured precisely from the beginning, we should put the limitation assumption that the meta observable can be measured precisely under this conservation law. So in order to do guarantee that we assume the meta should be commuted with conserved quantity. Under this assumption, he calculate with some approximation. Approximation is that he assumed that this apparatus has very large angular momentum, and he assumed that this very large angular momentum can be treated as a continuous variable, so that he can use the calculus to obtain this limit by using Lagrange multiplier method, and then he obtained this lower bound of the accuracy of the measurement. So where we consider the worst error means that we maximize the root mean square error or a square root mean square error over the any input state. Then his lower bound is h bar to the 4 over the 16 times mean square of conserved quantity in apparatus, and he can argue that that this is very tight, and we can make a very precise measurement up to this limit. So the problem is that can we generalize this kind of the lower bound set by the conservation law, and also we want to derive the lower bound using more precise method without make any approximation. And then we can imagine that such a derivation can be done from the uncertainty principle, because the assumption on the conservation law means that this measuring process does not disturb the conserved quantity. So in the sense that this measurement is does not disturb the conserved quantities, then it is natural to expect to conclude if the measured observable is not commuting with the conserved quantity, we cannot measure precisely the such a non-commuting observable, because the such kind of measurement naturally considered to be the simultaneous measurement of the conserved quantity and non-commuting observable to the conserved quantity. Such kind of consideration leads to some very strange situation, because in that argument, we should appeal to the Heisenberg's original uncertainty principle, because we are facing the situation that the measurement without disturbance. So the uncertainty principle is interpreted to be the relation between noise and disturbance, not the relation between standard deviations for two observables. So the argument is as follows. Now we consider the meta measurement, precise meta measurement, without disturbing any operator commuting with M. it is easy to establish the fact that each observer M, we have the Luder's measurement and the models of the measuring process for this Luder's measurement. And the most standard model of the Luder's measurement is that the unitary operator is of the form of the tensor product exponentials in the exponentials, we have this measured observable tensor momentum operator on the momentum operator for the position of the pointer. So this unitary operator realizes Luder's measurement naturally. This operator naturally commutes with M. So the standard realization of Luder's measurement, we can assume that the measurement interaction commute with M or any if the M commute with LX, then U0 also commute with LX. we can assume this Luder's measurement interaction commute with a conserved quantity because M is assumed to be commute with conserved quantity. Then we combine the two measuring processes. First we use the original interaction, and then we use the Luder's measurement interaction. And both interaction commute with conserved quantity. So this is a measuring process for original object tensor original apparatus with the same output, because this first measurement gives the M value, and the second measurement reproduce M value precisely. So the these two measurements, original and this measurement, are the same output. And then and that means the noise of the this combined measurement the same as this original measurement. And still we have the a new relation that this measurement has does not disturb the conserved quantity. And so if the Heisenberg's original inequality is true, then we have this relation. Noise times disturbance should be the lower bound determined by the commutator of this measured operator and the conserved operator. And this is some constant if the non-zero constant if the initial state is eigenstate of this commutator. And in this model, the unitary operator does not change the conserved quantity. The disturbance is zero, and then this should be zero. So the Heisenberg original relation implies that the noise should be the infinite. This is very easy because the if the measurement satisfies the conservation law, measurement does not change the conserved quantity, then this is a non-zero disturbance-less measurement. And disturbance-less measurement, according to the original Heisenberg inequality, allows no finite resolution. And so this contradicts the Yanase's bound. His bound is this. This is finite. And also, if you choose the very large apparatus, this can be arbitrarily precise. So there are two different conclusions. Yanase's bound gives you the you can make a spin measurement very precisely. Heisenberg's inequality concludes that the resolution cannot be even finite. So this is very non-realistic because we have the precise spin measurement using interaction which satisfy the universal conservation law. So we should conclude that Yanase's bound excludes the validity of the original Heisenberg's inequality. So the problem is that what is the correct relation between noise and disturbance? What is the correct noise disturbance relation? Then we obtained the following result. For every measuring process, we have the following relation. Noise for A measurement times disturbance on the B operator caused by this measurement plus noise of A operator times the standard deviation in the initial state of this measurement of B and plus standard deviation of A times disturbance of B. Some of these three terms have this lower bound. This is the original Robertson lower bound. And also this quantity has a lower bound of this formula. This is noise times disturbance, and this is a commutator modulus of the mean of the commutator between reduced noise operator and the B operator. And this is 1/2 of modulus of the mean value of the commutator of A operator and mean disturbance operator. This formula also has a lower bound, same as the Robertson relation. We have the two conclusions. This has this lower bound, but some of these three terms have this Robertson lower bound or original Heisenberg lower bound. And also, this relation gives you the this relation answers when the original answers the question when the original Heisenberg inequality holds. If the noise and the disturbance are statistically independent from the object, in the sense that reduced noise operator and reduced disturbance operator are constant operator, means that this noise and the disturbance are independent from the state of the object, just depend only on the state of the apparatus. Then this is constant operator. The commutator should be zero for any B, and this should be zero for any A. So these two terms vanishes. So we get the original Heisenberg relation. And so the original Heisenberg relations hold when the noise and disturbance are statistically independent from the object system. And from this new relation, we have the new possibility allowed, but not the possibility that is not allowed in the original Heisenberg relation, but we can allow such a situation from the new relation. Measurement beyond the Heisenberg inequality, we can formalize two special cases. Type 1 violation is a case where disturbance should be zero. In this case, disturbance, we allow to be the disturbance zero, but still, noise can be finite because three terms becomes only one term here, but this term gives the constraint in this form. So original Heisenberg relation, if the disturbance is zero, the noise should be infinite. But in this new relation, noise is constrained by the commutator and the initial uncertainty of the B operator. And in the similar way, we have another case we can allow the noiseless measurement, but still then the disturbance not necessarily be infinite. We have the constraint on the disturbance with this initial standard deviation of A operator. So we have these two relations. Now we can apply this relation for the previous argument for obtaining Wigner-Kiernan bound using the non-disturbing measurement, uncertainty relation for non-disturbing measurement. So a quantitative generalization of the Wigner-Kiernan theorem obtained as follows. If a measuring process K sigma U M for arbitrary Hilbert space H is satisfied, U is commute with the conserved quantity L1 plus L2. L1 is the operator on the H, L2 is operator on the K. And M operator of K means that the L1 is in this form. And L2 should be in this form. Under this condition, we have this this lower bound for the mean square noise. So under this condition, mean square noise has a lower bound proportional to the square of the mean of the commutator and inversely proportional to the sum of the variance of conserved quantity in object and in apparatus. The proof can be done as follows. from these two relations, then we have the measurement without disturbing conserved quantity, just the same argument as before. Then the type 1 violation formula implies that noise times initial uncertainty has this Robertson lower bound. So this is not necessary to be the infinitely large, but this is inversely proportional to the initial variance of the conserved quantity. Here, the A is, we evaluate this commutator. A is the operator of the system, and L2 is the operator on the apparatus. These two are commutes, so this commutator becomes just the commutator between A and L1, conserved quantity in the system. And then we evaluate this part. This is a variance of the conserved quantity, but the initial state of the measurement is product state. So this variance is the sum of the variance. So that we have from this easily to get this formula. And this formula captures the Yanase's bound very clearly. So that we have simplified Yanase's argument. For example, in his case, consider the ASZ measurement with angular momentum conservation law. So from our formula, we obtain this. Then worst error, we maximize this part. Then we get we maximize this part. Gives you the safe lower bound, and so the maximum error has this lower bound, and this is a more precise lower bound, and this is very similar to Yanase's lower bound. This, and the difference is that they're the same coefficient. The difference is that Yanase's argument uses mean square of the conserved quantity, but actually that depends not mean square but the variance, and the variance can be more smaller than the mean square, so the this noise can be larger and tight lower bound. So the lower bound is better than Yana sets lower bound in the sense that this part, Yana set uses a mean square of the conserved quantity, but actually this part should be the variance of the conserved quantity. Now we consider the application of this formula to the limitation of the implementation of quantum gate under the interaction between controller and gate subject obeying the conservation law. So let G to be a given quantum gate on any n-qubit system. An implementation of this gate G is a mathematically formalized a triple alpha consisting of K U X where K is the Hilbert space of the control system, U is a unitary operator between controller and the qubit, and X is a unit vector describing the initial state of the controller. Then an implementation of K U X defines an operation E alpha by the usual formula, trace over the partial trace over K of the unitary evolution. And evaluate the accuracy of this implementation, we introduce the gate fidelity of alpha is defined by this usual formula, the infimum of the fidelity between the output state of the correct gate and output between fidelity between the output state of the correct gate and the output state of the implementation. And then we call the 1 minus the squared gate fidelity, we call the error probability of this implementation. And we say that conserved quantity of this implementation is operator sum of the operator of the gate and the controller, which commute with this unitary operator. Then we obtain the following result about the limitation on quantum state control due to conservation laws. The error probability of any implementation of the Adamal gate H on a spin qubit satisfying the angular momentum conservation law with n qubit separable controller is no less than 1 over 4 times n plus 1. And the one with entangled controller is no less than 1 over 4 or n squared plus 1. And we also, we have also obtained a similar result for various gates. So any implementation of self-adjoint gates, including Adamal gates, NOT gate, and also CNOT gate, Fredkin gate, and Toffoli gate have similar error probability. However, a swap gate has no constraint. We can precise implementation under the angular momentum conservation law. The proof of this statement for Adamal gate is as follows. Now let alpha be an implementation of the Adamal gate satisfying the angular momentum conservation law with n qubit controller. Now consider the measuring process. So we have the 1 qubit here, and then the initial state is psi. And we have the n qubit controller, initial state is xi. And we want to realize Adamal gate on this 1 qubit by the unitary operator of this n plus 1 qubit. This is n cubed. And then after the, this gate, we consider the measurement of x component of the Pauli operator. We consider x measurement. Then this defines one of the measuring apparatus. And then we have this measuring process. This is apparatus system, Hilbert space K. And this is a measuring interaction U. And this is initial state of the measuring apparatus C. And after the interaction, we measure X here. And then we have this measuring apparatus. There is some simplification here. The original definition of the measuring apparatus, meta-observable is not of the observable of the original system, but meta-observable should be the observable in the apparatus system. But we can change the we can change the model easy to using a swap gate. we can consider this way. And inside the addition of the swap gate gives no errors, no new constraint, because as we claimed before, swap gate can be precisely implemented under the conservation law. So this change affect any result. So we assume without inserting swap gate here, so we just simply consider this model. Then this model can be regarded as an approximate measurement of Z component. We actually measure X here, but here it's Adamal gate. The state changes by the Adamal gate, so we can consider this measurement to be the Z component. So, and our unitary operator does not disturb the X operator. And our beta observable is also commute with X operator. And thus, using the previous formula for quantitative representation of the Wigner-Aratianas theorem, or uncertainty relation for non-disturbing measurement, we get this relation for the noise, and this is initial variance of the system and the apparatus. And then we calculate these quantities considering the we assume the initial state is eigenstate of the Y operator. Then we have this to be the 2. And then the error probability should satisfy the error probability, and root mean square has this relation. This is easily expected, but we can prove very precisely. And how, why it is easy to expect it that the, any error causes two difference of the two because the measurement value is minus one or plus one. Any error causes deviation on two. So the squared deviation is four. So the four times error probability is equal to the root mean square. We have this formula, and by this we get this. And if the answer is entangled, We see that this maximum standard deviation is up to n, and hence we get the lower bound of the error probability should be 1 over 4 times n squared plus 1. For separable ancilla, we get the variance is the sum of the variance of each qubit. So this is up to, the variance is up to n. In that case, we obtain the lower bound of the error probability is 1 over 4 times n plus 1. So we have proven this relation, this statement for quantum state control due to conservation laws. We have such a limitation. Now some comments on this result. A realization of the 1 qubit Adamal gate needs 100 qubit entangled ancilla or 10,000 qubit separable ancilla to clear some assumed straightforward error probability. However, you can encode the logical qubit into 3 physical qubits to make rotational invariant interactions universal. It's called universal encoding. So if you use the, such kind of the universal encoding system, if you you can encode the logical qubits to be the 3 physical qubits in the spin system. Using this system, you can circumvent this kind of constraint. So the proper choice of encoding or this kind of the decoherence free in encoding is an important problem. So basically, this limit is not so serious now, but this method is very useful in many applications. One potential application is to clarify the limit for the program number of quantum processors, because such kind of the system uses some limited n qubit controller to program the all the gate to be implemented by some program using this interaction. Maybe there's some application for this direction. Thank you very much.
Someone was going to ask when is lunch. I think it's right now. Last time.